Hello, friends. Welcome to Think Jesus Cafe. This is your Daily 10. As you know, we are walking along through the book of 1 John, and we are in the second chapter. So I'll read verses 1 through 6. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Last time, we took a close look at what the Apostle John meant when he used those words, the whole world. And today, we want to continue our study starting at verse 3, where the Apostle says this, And by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Well, as you remember, John is confronting false teachers who have infiltrated the church, and they seem to have caused all sorts of doctrinal and moral confusion. The apostle wants his readers to be sure about something. He wants us to be sure about our standing before God and of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Assurance of our right relationship with God is at the root of our own personal joy, peace, and spiritual contentment. The world we live in many ways is difficult, and there are many opportunities to be insecure about our purpose for living, our future, as well as our relationship with God. Assurance of salvation is a privilege for Christians. It's a gift from God. The lack of assurance, that lack of having humble confidence about our relationship with God, can produce all kinds of uncertainty, fear, misery, and despair. Now, the confusion surrounding assurance of salvation stems from one basic heretical teaching. That heretical teaching was circulating in the first century and is circulating very widely in the 21st century. That heretical and false teaching is this, that our salvation is a product of a joint effort between God and sinners. Salvation is a combined effort between God and sinners. God will always pull through and do his part. Sinners, on the other hand, may or may not continue to do their part. They may or may not continue in their journey of faith, so no one can know for sure if they are truly reconciled to God. So, no one can have full assurance that they've been permanently rescued from the clutches of sin. No one can know for sure that they are marked by God as one of his own redeemed children. It just can't be absolutely known. And this is heresy. This is not what the Bible teaches. The truth of the matter is that the Bible teaches that we can have assurance of salvation. The Bible teaches that it is possible to have full confidence that we have been permanently redeemed and have received everlasting forgiveness of our sins. Why? Because salvation is a gift from God. Salvation, in the biblical worldview, is not a product of human rigor or ingenuity, and it's not a product of some combination between human effort and God's grace. Salvation is not derived from some combination between God's grace and, say, church membership, or God's grace and, say, some religious ritual, or God's grace and our personal effort to be good people. These things may or may not be important, but the point is that salvation, regeneration of a once-dead heart to a heart that's alive to the things of God, that change fully falls under God's sovereign grace. Salvation is wholly and completely a gift of God, and God does not take away his gift of salvation. Now, it's absolutely true that each human being must repent of sin and place their faith in Jesus Christ. There's no salvation without repentance and faith, and repentance and faith are personal responsibilities. No one can do it for us. But that action is only possible because of God's work of regenerative grace in the heart of that individual. We'll think more about this point in future Daily 10 episodes, but here's a couple of verses which speak to what I just said. Jesus speaking in John chapter 6, verse 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And Jesus repeats that point in John chapter 6, verse 65. Acts chapter 13, verse 38. And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. And as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. Acts 16:14. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. Okay, the Apostle John wants his readers to have abundant joy in their life, even in the face of many trials and many difficulties. He wants them to know that they can still have joy. But abundant joy comes only when we have confidence, assurance, that we've been fully accepted by God and have come under His watchful, loving, and fatherly care. So, the Apostle writes this, "And by this we know that we have come to know Him, if we keep His commandments." Now, there's the test of our salvation. John states it with absolute clarity. Quote, "By this we know," end quote. Those words, "we know," mean that we continually know. We continually experience something. John doesn't say that we can hope for something. He doesn't say that we can wish for something. John says that we can know something for sure. And in the mind of the Apostle John, our assurance comes from obeying the commandments of God, the commandments of God that are found in the Bible. People who fail to obey the commands will wonder if they possess the salvation of God. And they should have uncertainty in their heart. That's the point. Those who are habitually disobedient to the commands of God, those who have no remorse for their own ungodly living, ought to have uncertainty. They ought to seriously wonder if the Holy Spirit is truly leading them. On the other hand, true believers can have assurance. They can have assurance that they have come to know God personally, and they can have assurance that God has come to know them in their own soul. Why? Because they keep His commandments. The test is found in keeping the commandments of God. The word "keep" in this context means to guard, to be observant, to be in watchful obedience. The idea is that believers, true believers, are continually safeguarding the commandments of God because they consider them to be precious. They consider them to be very valuable. Now, when John uses the word commandments, he's not referring to the Old Testament law. Rather, he's pointing to the teachings, the precepts, the directives of Jesus Christ. But of course, the teachings of Christ, the spiritual precepts of Christ, are consistent with the moral and spiritual precepts of Moses, the moral precepts of the Old Testament. But again, John is pointing to the teachings of Christ. That's not to say that the Old Testament prophets, the Proverbs, the historical writings have no application for our life today. The point is that John is pointing to Christ, and all the moral and spiritual commands of all Scripture are bound up in the teachings of Christ. Okay, John is saying that we can have assurance that we really and truly know God if we keep His commandments. And today I want to emphasize that word "keep." As I mentioned before, the word "keep" in context means to guard something because it's so very precious. Believers guard They hold dear the commandments, the precepts of Jesus Christ, because we've come to recognize them as being so very precious to our own life. We want to obey them because we love them. Now, loving the commands of God is not a natural thing. It does not come naturally in the heart of any human being. The desire to read, study, discuss, and faithfully keep the precepts of Jesus Christ, well, that desire doesn't naturally lie in the heart of any man or woman. So, how can it be that we come to actually love keeping the commandments of Christ? How can it be that we are interested in them at all? Why? Because the Spirit of God is at work in the hearts of those who truly believe. Believers in Jesus Christ, true believers, have a mind that is captivated by the precepts, the teachings, the commands of Jesus. They are so captivated that they can't help but to want to obey. No one is forcing obedience on them. They want to have the commands of God present in their own life. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit in the heart of the redeemed child of God. Consequently, we can have assurance, not prideful, self-congratulating assurance. We can have humble assurance that we know God and that God knows us. Why? Because we want to keep the commandments of Jesus Christ. Next time, we'll continue to think about this concept of keeping God's commands, not out of duty, out of delight. Thank you for joining us in Think Jesus Cafe. This has been your Daily 10, and this is your host, Mark Day. If you are in the San Francisco Bay Area, and if you don't have a home church, I invite you to be with us this Sunday at Gate Tree Church in Danville as we consider why Jesus was so sorrowful over Jerusalem in Luke chapter 13. You can find out more at gatetreechurch.org. Join us next time as we think about Jesus, a biblical worldview, and real life.